If everybody is confrontational, what will Nigeria look like? So much Omoyele is always confrontational. He's always on the street. He wants to call out for protest.
Some activists argue that confrontation is necessary to make change impossible to ignore. And in a country like Nigeria, silence can be seen as complicity.
But is Omoyele Sowore truly fighting for Nigerians, or is it about his own legacy?
Well, there's no way you can fight for a country that is as relevant as Nigeria and not be relevant in that struggle.
His visibility has increased over time due to his activism, but this has not won him a solid political support base, because we know that he is yet to secure enough elected representation.
But that's not all. Omoyele Sowore says that he has a clean track record. So who does he believe holds the key to change in Nigeria?
You have a person in front of you, me, and people who share our kind of ideological leaning that can bring about real change.
Sowore says he's the man. He's also seen by many as Nigeria's fearless activist. But the big questions are, what real change has his activism brought so far?
And how long can he keep on pushing if the changes that he desires are never materializing? That is the topic of discussion today.
Yes, we are here again under the Baobab, and my name is Mimi Mefoneu.
And Mimi Mefoneu is with me, Giorgio Kachi. We bring Africa's complex stories closer to you by making them personal under this show.
And it happens every Friday of the week. We sit down here to talk with policymakers, politicians, activists, leaders from across Africa. So please subscribe to our YouTube channel and be part of this conversation.
Of course, be part of the conversation. And today we have Omoyele Sowore, a human rights activist, pro-democracy campaigner, and former presidential candidate from Nigeria.
And that is Sowore. Yes. You know, George, yes, he started activism 30 years ago. I was about 6 years old
yeah,
when he started activism. Uh-huh. And he started when he was like a student leader trying to call for change under Nigeria's military regime. And events actually really turned out. It turned out like he really emerged during the NSAS protests. We've seen him doing a lot of activism. Mm-hmm. But it's a long time ago that he started all of this.
Yeah, definitely, Mimi. And talking about the time that he started his activism, which was during the military rule under Nigeria.
Right.
The events that happened is what you are referring to. They were similar to what happened during the NSAS campaigns. And of course, if you're talking about someone who has been broken in body and spirit, he embodies that, you know, as an activist. And I think he takes pride of that.
And talking about him being broken, we are talking about him today because he's been involved in a saga recently with the authorities in Nigeria.
He's causing trouble.
Yes,
yeah,
because he actually has been writing a lot and criticizing the current government of President Bola Tinubu of corruption and bad governance and so on and so forth. So
he doesn't like President Bola Tinubu.
And even the former leaders, he's always complaining.
Definitely. And of course, in this particular case, we cannot get into the details of it because it's still under, you know, judicial process. I mean, the Nigerian authorities have sued him and he could potentially, you know, be arrested. Who knows? But my question is, like, why this confrontational approach? Why, you know?
And you just talked about him potentially, that he could potentially be arrested. And he's been arrested so many times.
Yes.
It's like it's a routine now for him. He's not scared of arrests. And he travels to Nigeria and back anytime he wants, he can go there. But, George, we really wanted to find out from him whether he is doing this for his personal relevance or is it really for change in Nigeria? This is what he told us.
Well, there's no way you can fight for a country that is as relevant as Nigeria and not be relevant in that struggle. So it is not necessary to distinguish whether in fighting for justice, you're fighting for human rights, you are fighting for political relevance. It's not a relevant struggle. It is a relevant struggle, and anybody who is involved in it will somehow be relevant in the scheme of things.
Can you point to one or two concrete changes that your activism has achieved so far?
Well, my activism has spanned over 35 years now, and it's would interest you that I was one of the young persons who brought about democratic rule. Struggles that led to our expulsion from the university led to a number of detentions, you know, physical assaults, torture, degrading and inhuman treatment by the military. So that is one, and I think that's without that struggle, the conversation we are having would not have been possible because we'll probably still be under military rule.
For you to effect change, you have to be able to also be in a position of power to bring that change in Nigeria that people want to see. So the question was whether would you, it, could the problem be at the level of, because you've not been able to even occupy public office in Nigeria, could it be that you need to do some sort of change of tactics in terms of your activism?
No, the kind of activism that I'm involved with is that which preaches total change and the one that has an agenda to liberate the continent and by way of Nigeria. And this would mean that I would not settle for anything less than transparent, credible, and acceptable to the people.
Of course, Sowore is a very familiar face on Nigerian streets. Someone who is, appearing on the headlines every time for troubling the government would be famous. But what worries most people is that this has not been translated to a political solid base.
Right.
He doesn't have representatives anywhere.
Yes, yeah. And you know that activism's success can only be measured by the number of political representation, like parliamentary seats, local council seats that you occupy as an activist. And that is something, especially in a system where elections are allegedly been manipulated, been rigged. And so we can only measure his level of activism, his influence based on that. And that we cannot really see, as you could hear in the conversation.
Yeah, definitely. And perhaps maybe I'm sure you would say like, what we've achieved, like bringing back the rule of law and democracy was one of the success that his activism has been able to achieve.
Right.
But you see, what you've emphasized, Mimi, is that activism is one thing, but also activism that is directed towards making substantive change is something very critical. And that can only be achieved through institutional, changes.
Right. And that is the question I put to him. I really wanted to find out whether he and or why his trend lies more on the streets than political track records. And this is what he told me.
The change that ended apartheid started from the street. The changes that you saw in America that ended white supremacy was carried out on the street. The one that gave women rights to vote, Black people, the rights of political freedom start from the streets. So you cannot ignore the streets. So I did not join partisan politics until 2018. And after I participated in election in 2019, I was arrested. I was detained for 5 months. I was restricted to the city of Abuja, the Federal Capital Territory, for 5 years. And I've been arrested twice this year. And by the time we are done with this conversation, I might be back in court. I might also be rearrested or sent to prison by the Nigerian government. That is the nature of pro-democracy and political struggle that I'm waging.
What kind of change after so many years do you really want to see in Nigeria? Is it just to conscientize the people on the streets, doing the protests on the streets, activism on the streets, and telling the people things are not going well in our country, in Africa, or you really want to bring about institutional change?
I want to see revolutionary change where Africa, particularly Nigeria, becomes a place where you can be proud of your nation, where we reduce corruption to the lowest amount, where you do not have the kind of political shenaniganism that has become the order of the day, where elections are not brazenly rigged. I used to hate politicians, and I hate to refer to myself as a politician because it's another name for dishonesty. Honestly, in Nigeria.
So are you saying that we shouldn't trust you? Because you are a politician.
I describe myself more as a political activist.
Can Nigerians trust you as the political activist that you are?
Definitely. Nigerians can trust me.
Why?
And since you said you go on Nigerian streets, you can go do your polls and ask them, what they think about me in terms of trust. So,
of course, we had to go to Nigeria and ask the Nigerians what they think about Sowore.
Evidently. But, yeah. George, yes. If I just wake up today and I tell you I want to run for post of president, yeah, in Germany, it might not happen. Maybe in my country, for instance.
Say Cameroon,
and I tell you I'm not a politician. Uh-huh. What would you say? Would you believe me?
I mean, because he's saying people are tired of politicians, then I would say, like, Mimi is coming with a new dimension. Like,
so you mean it's a strategy then?
It could be a strategy.
But he is a politician. That's what I know. You talked about us hitting the streets of Nigeria, yes, because that's what we do here under the Baobab. We have a community back home in Africa, a very big, huge community, and we can see all your shout-outs in the comment section, especially when we go to Nigeria. It's always heated, yeah, in the comment section.
Definitely.
Because that is where we have our eyes and ears, George.
Yes, but the bigger question lingers. Is Sowore's activism for the people or for personal gain?
Let us hear the thoughts of Nigerians on the streets, and they were speaking to Chinaza Jennifer Samuel, who is our correspondent in Lagos and Abuja.
I feel like Sowore should do better. Okay, there are better ways to go about achieving results. Protest is not just the way, it's not the only way.
Let him sit down, eh? Let him sit down with relevant authorities. Let them make it. Is when they've engaged him and it's not satisfied, that is when sometimes you need to write. They will tell you that you should consult before you confront. You can't do consultation. It is when consultation fails that confrontation should be the next thing. But start with consultation. Meet together, rub minds together. It is when you are not satisfied, you say no. But it's not every time you say, oh, all we are saying, no. We have outgrown that. You are no longer students.
But I don't think that Sowore can achieve with this effort.
So your message to him would be what?
I advise Sowore to take it easy. If you want to make things done, you cannot change by force. Follow the government, advise the government in a way that is given regarded, not fight the government.
Well, I see Sowore as a fellow compatriot.
Okay.
So who is always struggling for the betterment of the country. His struggles, he's always coming out, you know, creating awareness, talking to the youths, to the need to wake up and do the right thing. And I see it as, for instance, in a democracy, protest is only legitimate means to express one's frustration. So what he's doing is in order. And I see it as a way of enlightening Nigerians to also do the same.
He started this journey since in the early 90s. He has dealt with the military down to this democratic dispensation. So I think for me, despite he might have his own flaws, but then I think he should be a role model. You understand? A moral compass for everybody that wants to have a better country. I voted for him the last time, and I'll still do the same thing, and I'll mobilize for people to vote for him.
As somebody who has been yearning for good governance for several years now, so I believe that he will bring his own experience to come to bear in the governance of our country.
Clearly diverse perspectives from our Nigerian followers.
Mm-hmm.
And if you were to look at it, Mimi, keenly, Sowore has positioned himself against everyone.
Mm-hmm.
He's been against the military rule. That was when Nigeria was back under military rule.
Right.
Against every president that came after Nigeria transitioned to democracy. Even the late president.
Yeah.
So my question is this kind of isolating himself, working for him, is it really working? Is it a strategy that...
Yeah, so I've also been following other Nigerian activists online, like VDM, mm-hmm, you know, the very dark black man. Hopefully we can have him also under the Baobab one day. But he was asking a very pertinent question about Sowore, and he said, if today, in the 21st century, Sowore is still on the streets protesting about bad governance, about the things that are not going right in Nigeria,
mm-hmm,
it actually means that Nigeria is really, really bad. For 30 years, someone has been doing activism and protesting.
Or Sowore is just a strong activist.
We never know. So, like, you just ask,
yeah,
why is he against everyone? And mm-hmm, why is he still an activist till today? Is it arrogance or deep-seated distrust or a belief that he alone can drive,
can
the,
drive
change?
The change? Yeah.
That is something that we also discussed.
These people should not be described as leaders, honestly. I disagree with their character. I disagree with their lack of knowledge of leadership. I disagree with their complete disconnect from what governance should be about. I disagree with their corrupt lifestyles, their criminal ways of conducting the affairs of the nation, and their total disregard for the fundamental rights of the people party.
But these are people that are voted by Nigerians. These are people that are voted by Nigerians.
We don't vote for them. They rig themselves into office, and then they force us to accept it. And what I represent is to reject such a notion.
So who is better placed to be in leadership in Nigeria now? Who do you see as a potential replacement that could bring the changes in Nigeria that you want to see?
You have a person in front of you. Me. And people who share our kinds of ideological leaning that can bring about real change, you know. And you know, we're very careful. I'm careful to use the word.
Can you be that leader in Nigeria without a coalition, Sowore? Is it possible?
Well, there's no country that's ever survived just by mounting coalition. You know, the question you should ask is, what coalition? You know, is it a coalition of thieves, murderers, and killers, and corrupt individuals, kleptocrats? That's a coalition we have. And that's
but we have a coalition recently by Atiku Abubakar and also the Labour Party.
Who was Atiku Abubakar?
Atiku Abubakar
was the vice president
of Nigeria. Who is Peter Obi? What do you think about this coalition being formed?
He was the governor of Anambra State for 8 years. You can go check out how they left their state, how they left Nigeria. Atiku was vice president for 8 years when they rigged the worst election rigging that took place in Nigeria took place in 2007, supervised by Obasanjo and Atiku. You know, so these guys you're mentioning is like imposing on the psyche of the country people who continue to abuse them. They are not trying to form a coalition to unseat the government they don't want to see. They were forming a coalition to replace the government so that they can be where they used to be, looting the country and continuing where the last government left it, because they are all friends and their family.
Which opposition leaders in Nigeria do you think you can work with, work together to bring that change that you want to see in the country?
The Nigerian people who are opposed to bad governance are people we are going to, that, you know, we're working with. It's the coalition of the oppressed that we call COOP. That's where we work. They don't have to have highfalutin positions or political parties. They don't have to have chieftaincy titles or fake PhDs or, you know, mansions or very expensive lifestyles. We are more interested in Nigerian people, and whomever is opposed to bad governance is the opposition that we want to work with.
Are you saying that the Nigerian opposition cannot be trusted?
I don't trust the people who present themselves as the Nigerian opposition today.
George, the obedience will not be happy.
Definitely, the obedience will not be happy. But you, here we're looking at a person who doesn't trust the politicians within mm-hmm. the system, doesn't trust the system itself, doesn't trust the institutions. Mm-hmm. But I mean, he ran for president in the last elections.
Right.
I see the deep-rooted contradiction there, that you don't trust the system, you don't trust the people you are competing against, and you still want to, you know, give yourself to that competition.
A lot of contradiction that's hard to ignore. Some call him a joke.
Yeah.
Some say he's just out for, like, just out for fun. But should political seats even be the yardstick for measuring activism? That's something that we also discussed.
But in terms of political relevance or base, well, ask yourself, how many people are registered to vote in Nigeria? 83 million. How many people voted in the last election? They claimed 26 million. And what was how they came into power? Mm. Probably some 9 million rigged, terribly rigged numbers.
How many local officials do you have, Mr. Sowore, in Nigeria? What is the political weight that your party holds?
The African National Congress does have elected officials. That's what I want to correct.
How many?
And I think we have two in the northern part of it. And there are off-season elections. But it is because those elections weren't part of the general elections that are badly rigged that that happened. These were by-elections in which we came out victorious because they weren't able to do what they do and during the general elections. Just go in and manufacture figures.
So that you are saying that the elections that are rigged both at the when the presidential elections are taking place and even for local elections?
On the days that elections are held in Nigeria for general elections, yes, the elections are rigged. And that is why Nigerian elections are the most contentious in terms of litigation. I don't know anywhere in the world where you go into an election and almost 80 to 90% of candidates go back to court to say, look, you know, I was rigged out of the election.
Just two local representatives after 30 years of activism.
But he said those who won fair and square, the rest of the election is rigged.
But other opposition leaders in Nigeria are also occupying seats. How are they doing it?
Good question.
Right. So when the discussion gets heated, what next?
Yeah, so when the discussion gets heated, we normally step aside and get to know our guests from a personal point of view. And that is the rapid fire question segment.
The Nigeria you want to see in one word.
The greatest.
How would you want the world to remember you in 10 to 20 years?
The guy who never gave up.
President Tinubu or the late President Buhari? Who did worse?
Both.
Activist or politician?
I'll go with a political activist.
Street protests or ballot box?
Street protests that liberates the ballot box.
Which one is your biggest legacy, Sahara Reporters or African Action Congress?
I would say that I enjoyed Sahara Reporters the most.
New York or Lagos?
Lagos, any day, because I think that's where Africa DNA is located.
Okay, rice and stew or pounded yam?
I'll do pounded yam any day.
The world leader who impressed you the most?
Nelson Mandela. You know, he came and left in dignity. It depends on where you are saying it. If you are saying it on the streets of South Africa, some people might disagree with you.
Would you say that you are fond of using political rhetoric?
No, I do not use. I'm very straightforward. I do not. I'm not fond of using political rhetoric. I don't need it.
And how about polarization?
No, I am all embracing. You know, I'm a very multi-diverse person.
Multi-diverse and super clean, you know.
But you're always asking about food.
Yeah, definitely.
What do you? What will you also choose, rice or pounded yam?
I would choose pounded yam because I've taken rice for a long time and I sort of fancy pounded yam.
It's normal to hear that from any African man. Yeah. So.
And of course, as we mentioned earlier on, we have Sowore today with us because of a post that he made that has, made him in the run-ins with the authorities.
Right.
And that was accusing the president of corruption.
And not just that. We cannot discuss about that because it's actually, there are some legal restrictions with regards to the court case. But also, I asked Sowore about the future of his activism. What are the plans ahead for him? Is he going to stop being an activist at some point, or will he keep being an activist forever?
First, there is no basis for a criminal charge over a honest post. And the second aspect of it is that the DSS have no right to police the reputation of Nigeria president. They have no reputation. Even if he were to have a reputation, it is not the goal of the security agencies in Nigeria to try and muzzle public free speech by trying to arrest or detain me or criminally charge me for freely expressing myself about something that I know to be very true.
What is your ultimate goal? Becoming president or building a movement that outlives you?
Both. Hopefully, the movement will outlive me, even when I become president, that the kind of fundamental change that will come to Nigeria will also outlive me, and that will create institutions that will make it impossible for Nigeria to fall back into the condition that it has been in the last 65 years.
Concretely, if you're elected president, what are some of the major changes that you implement in your country?
Well, I'll categorize them in two ways. One is to have fundamental change to Nigeria itself, considering where the history and these antecedents and this colonial or neo-colonial history. And second is institutional. On the institutional side, of course, it's going to be to focus squarely on fixing electricity, which is my number one priority, education, which ultimately will fix security, now end poverty, unemployment, and to bring about an economic system that works for all of us. But on the fundamental historical part, I would work towards changing the Nigerian constitution.
And when is Mr. Sowore planning to retire? Never?
Unfortunately, I'm not in the line of work where people retire. You know, when you're doing this job, which has to do with conscience, you don't retire until you die.
So we might have to talk about Mr. Sowore till forever.
Maybe he may become the president. Who knows?
Who knows? And this is someone that, like you and I were just discussing earlier, that is really, really big promoter of press freedom mm-hmm. of expression in mm-hmm. Nigeria. Mm-hmm. He stands for what is right, what is just, and for a better community, for the best life for ordinary Nigerians. But the question is always, when we are activists, yes. when you are a journalist, when you are a civil society activist, sometimes yes. you have to sit back and look at some of the actions that you're taking, evaluate, and see if it's creating impact. Yes. And with the case of Sowore, what would you say, George?
I would say that he's someone who's decided and is hell-bent to remain on course
mm-hmm.
no matter what. He has, of course, expressed that he disassociates himself with, you know, the political dynamics within his own country. And, yeah. and Mimi, we should take a look at, renowned activists like Ellen Johnson Sirleaf, mm-hmm. Africa's first elected female presidential Nobel Peace Laureate, who showed how activism can transform leadership. Her journey from activist to head of state illustrates that the central role of activists play in advancing peace, democracy, mm-hmm. and women's empowerment across the continent. And for me, activists aren't just the voices.
Yes.
Yeah, they are often the drivers of Africa's progress.
Story. And also the impact that yes. they create. So for me, the take home is that this discussion actually reminds me that activism in Africa comes with a lot of challenges, mm-hmm. but remain very, very vital. It remains very vital when it comes to bringing about change in our respective communities.
Definitely.
So if you want more honest, unfiltered conversations, but before I continue, we have an exclusive interview with Mrs. Johnson Sirleaf is yes. also on our YouTube, so you can also watch. But if you want more honest conversation, unfiltered conversations about African politics, mm-hmm. please hit the subscribe button. So, George, where can people watch Under the Baobab?
Definitely Under the Baobab can be found under the Spotify podcasts, where you listen to your podcasts, mm-hmm. Apple Podcasts, and right here on DW Africa's YouTube page, that is DW Africa. My name is George Okachi, and thank you for watching.
And my name is Mimi Mefo. See you next time.